Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. We're on the cusp of the Memorial Day weekend, the unofficial start of the summer season in our region. Over the last two decades, live theater, music, and art venues have year-round offerings, but it all kicks into high gear during the summer months. It's become a tradition on the show that in early summer, we open the phone lines and invite members of our creative community to call in and share what's on their live performance schedule for the season. But before we do that, we want to discuss the challenges of running a live theater company, even in a region known for the arts. Joining us, Julie Wake. Julie's the Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
And Christopher Ostrom, he's Producing Artistic Director at Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater, or WHAT. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Christopher, earlier this spring, you shared the difficult news that WHAT was canceling the 2026 season and suspending operations. What led up to that decision?
Well, I think it was a decision that was about 20 years in the making. 20 years ago, we opened this beautiful, beautiful facility, the Julie Harris Stage, and to great fanfare, and we're so blessed to have it. But over those 20 years, it's been very difficult to find the right business model that provides enough revenue to support year-round operations and to support the work that we do on stage. Increasingly, we've relied on a small pool of large donors to make up the budget gaps year after year. And since the pandemic, that pool has gotten smaller and smaller. And the other pandemic challenges of rising costs, changing attitudes towards live theater and participating in performance really brought us to a head last year. And we, you know, worked together as staff and board to say we need to set some lofty fundraising goals. If we can't achieve those, then we're going to have to greatly scale back our ambitions. And we made the difficult decision in early April that said, we need to take a break. Mm-hmm. We need to cancel this upcoming season. We need to pull back. And we need to look at developing a better, more sustainable business model that allows us to preserve this facility, which I think is a tremendous cultural asset
Absolutely.
To this community.
Yeah.
But also allows us to continue to fulfill our mission of creating live theater and kind of serving the soul through theater.
Yeah. So how much of the budget is ticket sales?
Roughly 35%, and that's in our best years.
Mm, yeah.
And this is not uncommon for the regional theater model.
Yeah. So, and the consumers are seeing rising costs from everything from groceries to gas, right? So, and these rising costs impact theater groups, not just you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we talk about the housing crisis here on the Outer Cape. And our second largest budget line is housing for artists in the summer. Mm-hmm. And that cost has tripled since the pandemic.
Yeah. We've seen arts funding cut on the federal level, and that's trickled down to the states through cultural council funding. Julie, how are arts organizations coping with these cuts?
Well, yeah, prices of everything is going up. And I think that it's really tapped into the capacity of their ability to produce more programming. As Christopher is mentioning, everything's more expensive. I mean, you need to pay people to help support a nonprofit theater or any of nonprofit and the housing costs. So what they are doing, they are tapping into their sustaining donors, the community, and really trying to tell the story of how important it is to have arts and culture in our community.
What about the Massachusetts Cultural Council? I know that, they fund various things. Mm-hmm. Have they been able to step up any of the funding at this point?
They have sustained their funding, and that's a really good thing right now. It's in the budget, the governor's budget. And so they've been so far been able to sustain their budget. Their giving model has changed over the past few years. They're going through transition with a new executive director search happening this year. And, it's really it's a transition time for them, too. Mm-hmm. So the unknown, living in limbo is not easy when you're in a nonprofit mm-hmm. situation.
Christopher, since the cancellation of the 2026 season was announced, what have you heard from the community and, others in the arts community?
Oh, my. It's honestly been overwhelming. The support that we're seeing online and from people who've reached out to us to say, how can I help? How could this happen? Was very unexpected. And it's heartened us. And it's also given us the resolve to keep pursuing, a brighter future.
Yeah. What is a CAPE institution? You know, it's a wake-up call that supporting the arts is essential. What would you like residents, visitors, and those who just love the arts to think about in this moment?
I think you know, the arts are absolutely essential, especially in challenging times. We turn to the arts for comfort, for reassurance, you know, as Shakespeare beautifully wrote, to hold that mirror up to humanity. And sometimes we need to see that reflection. Sometimes it's harsh, but sometimes it's beautiful. And I think in these challenging times, holding on to the beautiful is so important. But I would say to people, buy a ticket, go see a show, take your kids to see a show. You know, we are not unique in our struggles. And I know talking to our peers and our colleagues that these struggles are universal and they won't get better unless people show up at the theater, buy a ticket, and of course, you know, support the theater as much as you can.
Yeah. What would you add to that, Julie?
Yeah, I think beyond buying a ticket is to also give to your favorite organization that you really, ticket sales barely cover the cost of operational, you know, sustenance, you know, so we really need to invest in these organizations. It will be interesting to see if there's a potential for some collaborative merging maybe and see, you know, I think a lot of strategic planning needs to happen as a region. And I'd love to see a regional support and effort to get these organizations.
Yeah. One of the things Christopher mentioned was bring your kids. And I was saying, I was telling Christopher before we went on, it's funny, what popped up photo just before I came, like when I walked in the studio, popped up on my photo feed was a photo of my grandson and my niece when we went to see How I Became a Pirate several years ago.
Oh,
I was like,
well,
of all the days for that picture to pop up, right?
I know. And, you know, theater is so important for our kids. It, you know, it's not like they, you know, we're investing in them to become famous actors someday. These little moves and opportunities for kids to get on stage and feel brave and confident and build this opportunity to like be in front of a crowd. It just, they'll take it forever.
Yeah. I know. Oh my gosh. And like the Harwich Junior Theater. Oh my God.
My daughter was Baby Spider number 3 in Charlotte's Web. And it was a life changing moment for her. Let me tell you.
It's funny. All right. So the announcement mentions that the hope is that this is a brief intermission for what? So Christopher, is there anything you can share about what the future might hold?
You know, in the near term, we are going to be convening a roundtable of other nonprofits to talk about how we can collaborate better and how they could play a role in the future of what. Over the summer, we do plan some community open houses where people can come to voice their support or voice their concerns, and they can help to shape whatever the future of what is. Beyond that, it's hard to say at this moment. We do hope to return to some sort of programming this fall. How we do that and what that looks like is still very much in the air at the moment.
Yeah. Is one of the things, also, you know, I think it's the plays that you pick, right? Because some of them are more expensive than others, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, when you're paying for that copyright and all of that. Yeah. And the good ones are the really expensive ones, right?
And on the production side, it's very hard to cut costs. You know, the cost of a physical production is what it is. And raw materials, those costs have gone up. So really the only kind of savings on the production side is by doing smaller cast shows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a season of smaller cast shows, you kind of lose the audience partway through the season.
Yeah. All right.
So finding that balance is challenging.
Christopher Ostrom is the producing artistic director at Wellfleet Harbor Actors Theater, which announced the cancellation of the 2026 season. We hope this is just a brief intermission. We'll have you back on the show next year discussing the 2027 season. Thanks, Christopher, for being with us, and best of luck.
I look forward to it. Thank you, Mindy.
We're talking about engaging with the arts this hour and hearing from theater companies across the Cape Coast and Islands on what's on their summer schedule. We want to hear from you. 866-999-4626. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about engaging with the arts this hour and hearing from theater companies across the Cape Coast and Islands about what's on their summer schedule. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. Or you can shoot us an email, thepoint@capeandislands.org. With us in studio is Julie Wake, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. I can see the phones are lighting up here, so let's go to David Keene from the Kituat Center for the Arts. Hi, David.
Hey, good morning, Mindy. Good morning, Julie. How are you guys doing?
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, so tell us, you guys always have so much going on.
Oh my God, I know, there's so much and I don't want to monopolize the show. I would like to say I'm so happy you had Chris on and as he said, everyone at every organization is rooting for Watt to come through this. Absolutely, 100%. Yep. But coming up, we have a million things. The Drowsy Chaperone will be the big indoor hilarious comedy for the summer. Tickets go on sale next week. In June, the end of June, on our outdoor stage that we call Angle to It, which is our...
I love that.
I know, it's great. And the original show Brought Under the Stars with four great singers, dancers, and all of the Broadway hits. In August, there are two homegrown shows. Michael Dunford, who created the Piano Men and Women Rock series, is doing a tribute to Jimmy Webb called Highways and Heartstrings. And then we follow that with a show called Let's Dance, which features all of the musicians from the Horns Rock show last year, and three incredible singers doing hits of the 80s that feature horn and sax solos predominantly. So it's going to be a really fun, great show. For the kids, we have a summer theater lab that runs in the summer. They write and create a show each year. This year is called Fiddler Crab on the Reef.
Oh, funny.
So, yeah, so you won't want to miss that. And then the biggest deal we have is we're doing a collaboration fundraiser with We Can, the local organization that helps women on the Cape, in a performance of our Women Rock show, which is going to the Melody Tent on Labor Day weekend.
I've gone to those. Yeah. Those are fun.
So fun.
Oh, my gosh. Really fun. It is so great. That show features Sarah Snead, Lily Anderson, Natalia Bonfini, Lisa and Allie Jason, and Trish LaRose, with the All-Star Band, and Michael Dunford. That's on Labor Day weekend. So we are jam-packed.
Seven days
a week.
Before I let you go, because I know lots of people want to chime in, I just want to, the very first thing, hilarious comedy. We need that right now.
We need funny. Yeah,
we need to have a choice.
We just closed a sold-out run of Sister Act on Sunday, and it was that same thing for 3 weeks. People were just laughing and smiling and engaging. We absolutely need it. I hope everyone brings a lot of comedy and music and dancing to the Cape this summer.
All right. David Keene from the Catoosa Center for the Arts. Okay. Thanks, David.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Yep. Mark Pearson's giving us a call from the College Light Opera Company. Hi, Mark.
Hi. Hi, Mindy. And hi, Julie. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Our neighbors. Yeah. Our new neighbors, right, Mark? You're our new neighbors. We're up here at Highfield.
Right, across the parking lot at the Highfield Theater.
All right, so tell us what's happening with you this season.
Sure. Well, at Clock, like every year, we've got 9 musicals and operettas across the whole summer, so there's something for everybody. We're a little unique in that it's sort of a curriculum, not only for our college students who join us from across the country. It's kind of like the Cape Cod Baseball League, you know, but for the arts, but also for the audience. So we're doing everything from traditional Gilbert and Sullivan, which is where our roots are, so opening with The Sorcerer, and then we'll do followed by 1776. Each show opens on a Tuesday. They perform for 6 performances. They close on a Friday. They have 1 week to rehearse the next one, and they do it basically for 9 weeks while they're here with us. So 1776 is then followed by Disney's Frozen, which would be a great one for the whole family. It's a premiere for us, too. And then after that is The Secret Garden, followed by The Student Prince, which, in my opinion, is one of Romberg's most glorious scores. So I hope a lot of people are going to come check out The Student Prince. Student Prince is followed by Pippin. After Pippin, it's The Light in the Piazza, which if you haven't listened to, you should. It's an amazing score. Great show. And we're also actually doing Drowsy Chaperone in slot number 8, so later in the summer. And then we're ending our season with My Fair Lady.
Oh, wow. What a nice lineup. Wow. Yeah. All right. Mark, thank you. Thanks for Mark Pearson from the College Light Opera Company. We'll see you across
thanks
the parking lot.
Yep. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks. Brooke is giving us a call from the Vineyard Playhouse. Hi, Brooke.
Hi there. How are you?
Great.
So, I'm calling in as I'm the new artistic director here at the Martha's Vineyard Playhouse after we've merged with Circuit Arts. Mm-hmm. And so we've got our first season under that banner coming out actually tomorrow is our first offering.
And what is it?
So it's a brand new work in progress called The Woodcutters, and it's based on a novel by Thomas Barnard. It's a solo show, and it features Adrian Krestansky, and it's a really exciting kind of new way into to a piece that is, I think, will be really exciting for audiences. We're actually going to do it in the lobby of the Playhouse with mm-hmm. Viennese cakes and coffees and everything. So that's going to run this weekend, and it's followed by an Iliad. We're putting up an Iliad back by popular demand, which we had done at Circuit Arts last year, and that's June 11th to June 14th, starring Lagan Love. And then we've got some staged readings coming our way this summer. Dakar 2000 is going to be directed by Chuma Hunter-Galt. That was a play at Manhattan Theater Club last summer. And a brand new play, a reading of a brand new play called Sick Day, which is by a very exciting new playwright named Avery Deutsch. Then we've got our outdoor Shakespeare. We're running As You Like It in the Tisbury Amphitheater starting July 15th through August 8th. Along with our free Saturday mornings children's theater, The Fabulous. They'll be back every Saturday at 10 a.m. And then in August, we've got Brooke Adams and Mary Lou Henner, who are going to repeat their off-Broadway show Pen Pals.
Wow.
And to close out the summer, we've got the very special honor of bringing Tectonic Theater Projects Here There Are Blueberries, which was the finalist for the Pulitzer in Drama this year. And that will feature some of the original New York cast, as well as Scott Barrow directing, who's one of the devisors on the piece.
What a nice lineup, Brooke.
Yeah. Thank you. We're really excited. We're really, really excited.
Yeah.
And that's in addition to all the other things that Circuit Arts will be producing this summer, which is all of our film screenings at the Grange, the drive-in at the YMCA, and our children's theater camp. So we've got a busy summer.
You sure do. Well, thank you for sharing, Brooke. We appreciate that, and welcome as
a new
artistic director. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. Let's talk to Jazzy McDonald from the Cape Rep Theater. Hi, Jazzy.
Hi, darling. We are super excited, too. I feel like everybody has some wonderfully magical things going on, and we do as well. We are currently in Nine Ball, which is written by a local playwright, Art Devine. There is 1.5 weekends left of that before we move into The Real Inspector Hound, which is a Tom Stockbird classic whodunit, mm-hmm. Directed by Holly McCarthy, who is also a lovely actor that we have every once in a while on our stage. In August, we then go to Tony-nominated musical Girl from the North Country, written by Connie McPherson with the music and lyrics of Bob Dylan. Our local favorite, Maura Hanlon, is directing that one with Scott Storr on musical direction. It's a 1930s Minnesota celebrated work that we're very excited to have the Cape Cod premiere of here. Then we move into the fall, and we have The Fall of the House of Usher, which is a wild reimagining by Gib Hoppy of the Poe classic. Mm-hmm. And it's creepy and crunchy and wonderful in a really great way that we're super excited to see how we make work.
Yeah, another
and
good lineup. Yeah, go ahead, sorry.
Right? And then we have, last but not least, for the holiday season, we have a world premiere musical of The 100-Acre Wood, which is written by Macklin Devine, Pat O'Devine, Seamus Devine, and Maura Hanlon, same writers as Archibald Avery. They're playwrights here. They work here, too, which is very fun. And The 100-Acre Wood is based off of the classic A.A. Milne, Winnie the Pooh stories. It's going to be a musical. It's for everyone, old, young, and everyone in between. I like to say it's a musical for kids and those who used to be.
I like that, yeah.
Wonderful reimagining, and I think it's going to be an amazing thing. We also have Summer Starlight as one of our special events this year on August 9th. You can come and meet Dermot Mulroney, who is classically trained cellist and has played in orchestras and in films like Jurassic World, Rogue One. He was also pretty well known as Chief Dom Pascal in Chicago Fire. So we're excited to have a little party and meet some Venice people. And then we'll have all our best, our annual musical review, and a couple of other.
A lot going on there, too. Jazzy McDonald from the Cape Breton Theater. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Brenda sent us a note. She said, the summer marks the Harbor Stage's 14th season of our artist-run professional performance at our Seaside Theater in Wellfleet. Starting in June, we'll present the world premiere of Prize Fight, a new comedy about arts awards written by Harbor co-founder Brenda Withers. We'll follow that up with Agatha Christie's classic murder mystery, The Mousetrap, in July, and round out the season with Will Eno's bittersweet comedy, The Realistic Joneses, in August. In keeping with our mission, all seats are available at affordable prices. And everyone is welcome. And of course, you can get more info at their website, harborstage.org. Thank you for writing that in, Brenda. Let's see. Up next, we're going to talk to Hal from the Cape Cod Theater Project. Hi, Hal.
Hey, hi, Mindy. Hi, Julie. How are you?
Hi. Oh,
good. Hey, you're another neighbor, right? Right down the street here.
I can't wait to share the driveway with you. Thank you for doing all the snow shoveling this winter.
That was a lot of it, right? All right. So, Hal, what have you got on tap? This is all like new stuff we like to hear about, right?
It's brand new. We have not announced this, so here I am announcing it.
Breaking news.
Breaking news. We do four new plays, as everyone knows. We develop each play over the course of the week, and then we have three presentations every weekend in July, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And you, as the audience, you're the first to hear it. You respond. And the playwrights and the directors, they make changes across the week. So it's really exciting. Our first play, which is July 4th weekend, is called What is a Girl For? By this year's Princess Grace Award winner, Zoe Rulin. And it's a play about Picasso, who was 45 at the time that he had a relationship with 17-year-old Marie-Therese Walter. It's pretty exciting. And the two actors who are playing these roles are just brilliant. So we're really excited about this new one. The next up is called Los Feliz by Benjamin Benet, who was just out of Yale School of Drama. It's a play about two women in a very affluent neighborhood in Los Angeles. One is a doctor. The other hires a Guatemalan immigrant and to be their live-in nanny. They both need each other. And the question, I guess, is, can they be more than just employer and employee? Are they friends? Are they family? It's really, really exciting and beautiful writing. The next up is a wonderful comedy called The Maccabees by a guy named David Allen. It is set in the Upper West Side in the Maccabee apartment during the Festival of Lights, known as Hanukkah. And Jonathan's family is all across the political spectrum. And it's exciting. It's an exciting play about politics, values, and how to make a really tender brisket. So I hope everyone comes to see that one.
Sounds
and
timely.
Finally, we round out. Yeah, always timely. Finally, we round out the season with a play called "Is There Even Porn in India?" by Dipti Brahmankar.
And okay, that's titillating, right?
It is. It's a question that hovers over across the evening in these two different settings. One couple interprets it one way, another couple interprets it another way, and it's exciting. It's about a couple that is trying to become producers, investors, and that one phrase really kind of runs through the whole evening. It's exciting. Yeah. So we start everything with our season opener, which is June 28th, which is Sunday night at 7 o'clock. And it features music by Kim Bilderbach and a sneak preview of the season. And we're really, really excited.
Hal, for folks who haven't been to Cape Cod Theater Project, it's what's really fun about that is that interaction at the end, right? So for folks who aren't familiar, talk a little bit about how that works.
Yeah, every evening after every show, we have a talk back with the playwright and the director and the cast. And we ask the audience for immediate feedback. There's a wonderful conversation that takes place between the artists on stage as well as the audience. And then we've built in rehearsal time so that whatever feedback we get on Thursday and Friday night, we have time on Friday and Saturday for the artist to make changes. And changes do happen, sometimes really radically. A new character can be added, a new act can be added, a new scene. And sometimes, small changes happen. But it's a really exciting thing. And people can get all access passes and come on a Thursday, Friday, and a Saturday night. And oftentimes people will do that.
Yeah.
So it's an excited to be part of the creation of a new work.
Absolutely.
So it's not just being entertained, but also being part of it.
Yeah. All right, Hal from the Cape Cod Theater Project. Thank you, Hal.
See you on the street.
Okay. up next, we're going to talk to Ignatia Martel from the Cape Symphony. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy and Julie. How are you this morning?
Great.
Good morning.
All right. What's on tap?
We have a lot going on. So we at Cape Symphony are wrapping up the current season, as you know, and we are getting ready for a very exciting one. We have two more concerts left this season, Voices of Spring, Mahler 5 next weekend, and then we have Motown and the Philly Sound on June 13th and 14th. We had to open a third show, a matinee on Saturday for Motown because it's pretty much sold out. So it's going fast. Now, our new season begins on September 26th and marks music director Alisa Wang's first season at the helm. She could not be with you this morning. She sends her best. She has designed a very, very exciting season full of exploration. It will take our audiences on musical journeys across cultures, generations, and styles. I'm going to give you some highlights. We'll be opening with Gustav Holst's The Planets in September. That is the epic orchestral masterpiece that takes audiences on a cinematic voyage through the solar system. It's filled with power and mystery and breathtaking sound. We'll also be presenting Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, which will be an immersive concert experience featuring the full score performed live by the orchestra alongside the film. Ooh. So that is getting a lot of buzz already.
Yeah,
and then, of course, for something completely different, as we move on to 2027, is a very special, in my opinion, performance called Samba and the Symphony, which will celebrate the energy and the rhythm and the spirit of Brazilian music and culture, and, of course, honoring the very vibrant Brazilian community that we have here on Cape Cod. So we are very excited for that one as well.
Yeah.
I just want to say,
I love Alisa Wang, the new artistic director. She was on the show recently. She's really fun. And speaking of energy, she's got a lot of energy. And I think what a good choice, right?
Thank you. We really appreciate it. We're extremely confident in the choice that we made and that the audience, that our patrons help us make.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming that she was the right person for the orchestra. And she has proven herself over and over again in the last year that she's been with us.
Yeah.
But this new season is so exciting because it's really her baby. It's her first full season.
Exactly.
As her music director. So, and she's very eclectic. So as you see, we have a great variety of programming. And she even adds something more special. Like, for example, we'll be closing the season all the way in June 2027 with a tribute to the one and only John Denver.
Oh, wow.
So it's just a full season of exploration and excitement and wonderful music. Wow. So our tickets are going on sale June 26th. We are already, all of our subscribers are already renewing packages, so they're getting their best seats. but we do have a custom series are now open for purchase at our box office. So you create your own series. You can pick 5 concerts, and you can call the box office at 508-362-1111 or visit our website at capesymphony.org.
Ignatia Martel from the Cape Symphony, thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Alex is giving us a call from the Cape Cod Museum of Art in Dennis. Hello, Alex.
Hi. Thanks for having me here.
Sure.
Let me come on and talk about the Cape Cod Museum of Art. So we got a sculptureful summer here with our premier exhibition, a retrospective of David Phillips' 57-year career as a sculptor. He's very well known for his large-scale sculpture work. He's got a ton in Boston and Cambridge. You may be familiar with his 6 bronze frogs at Tadpole Playground in the Boston Commons Park. His newer sculptures are in our gallery as we speak, and they show his focus on the natural forms and ancient symbols. They are beautiful.
He's incredible. Mm-hmm. You've got
He's
to
incredible.
See. Yeah. Incredible.
And he's such a nice guy, too. He's wonderful.
We should have him
in his new books and our books as well, or museum shop. And we also have our Cape Cod Open Sculpture Invitational, which we call COSY. It's back this summer with an additional 40 sculptures on our campus. So we have 65 sculptures on our canvas that you, campus that you can walk. We have horses and birds, and so there's some monsters in there that are really cool looking. Everyone's welcome to come walk it. It starts the museum and goes past the Cape Cinema and the Playhouse, and the flowers are all up, so everything's beautiful. Oh. And we have maps in our lobby now that you can take and guide you through. We also have our summer youth program and our summer concert series kicking off here in June. The kids' classes are ages 6 and up, and they include, like, graphic novels, clay, print, and so much more. They're super fun. And we, our concerts feature just a variety of genres. You can see them on our website and get season passes. They range from jazz to folk to R&B. It's really quite wonderful.
Oh, wow. So a lot going on. All right, Alex from the Cape Cod Museum of Art. Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Steve, who's calling from the Barnstable Comedy Club. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Mindy and Julie. Thank you for hosting all of us today. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So I'm calling to talk about the Barnstable Comedy Club, which is actually a community theater, for anyone that doesn't know, not a comedy club. And we are... I'm talking about our season for next season, which starts in November. We have four shows, our usual slate. Our first show is going to be Curtains in November, which is a murder mystery musical set in the Colonial Theater in Boston, Massachusetts. It's a lot of fun. Music by Candor and Ebb and Rupert Holmes, who wrote the Pina Colada song.
Yeah.
And he also wrote the book. Then our next show is going to be a mystery. We haven't gotten the rights secured yet.
mystery. I
we
like
have
that.
A plan. And it's actually going to be a, hopefully it's a new adaptation of a classic mystery. So look for that. Then we're going to present Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, which probably people are a little bit more familiar with. And finally, next spring, about a year from now, we're going to be doing The Play That Goes Wrong, which is a hilarious farce that the title basically says it all. Everything that could possibly go wrong during the show, it does go wrong. I also want to say that we're hosting a fundraiser, co-hosting with the Cape Cod Music Society, and that's coming up on June 6th. I think there are a few tickets left. It's a fun event. The Music Society is going to be performing, doing movie themes. That's the theme for the year. And so we encourage everyone to go to BarnstableComedyClub.org to look for tickets and auditions. We strongly encourage everyone to come out and audition for the shows. We'd love to get as much participation as we can.
All right. Steve, thanks for that. Appreciate that. Steve from the Barnstable Comedy Club.
Thank you very much.
You bet. All right. Jen Pina is calling from the Cape Cod Theater Company, Harwich Junior Theater. Hi, Jen.
Good morning. Thank you for hosting. So wonderful to hear everything that's going on.
I know.
Amazing. We have one final weekend of The Importance of Being Earnest up right now. Of course, hilarious comic genius by Oscar Wilde, and this take on it in the hands of directors Kirsten Peacock and Nick Nudler is exponentially funny. I've heard people walk out of the audience with jaw literally dropped, saying it's the funniest thing they've seen on stage, period. So if you can make it for this one last weekend, please do. You'll enjoy the laugh. And then we roll into our 75th summer season, and we're starting... I know. Isn't that amazing?
Is that possible?
And so we're kicking off our 75th summer season with Cinderella, which is the very first show that was produced in 1952 at the Harwich Junior Theater.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cinderella.
Yeah, a special one. And this version is the 2013 Broadway extravaganza. So it's the Rodgers and Hammerstein music that everyone loves and a slightly updated story. So the main characters have actually a growth arc, which is also really fun.
Wow.
So I hope you come see that. And then also this summer on our magical, in our magical outdoor theater, we have Wind in the Willows and our apprenticeship program, which provides a pathway and mentorship for Gen Z production team members, will be producing As You Like It. And then back on our main stage to close out our summer season, we have Treasure Island in the hands of Andy Arden Reese as director, who's a really amazing physical storyteller and ensemble storyteller.
Wow.
And then we roll right into the fall. As I guess if people don't know, we are a multi-generational educational community theater operating year-round. So rolling right into the fall, we have an adaptation, an original adaptation by Brian Lore Evans of the Sherlock, based on the Sherlock Holmes stories that have Irene Adler in them. So title to be determined, but it's a wonderful version that's leaning on those classic stories and characters and through the eyes of and through the storytelling of the Baker Street Irregulars, which are the, the street gang of kids that Sherlock uses to get his info. So that's super fun.
And Jen, before you give the last one, I just want to mention, you guys have such a great program for the kids. And I think all the other theater companies on the Cape that use kids in their productions are thankful you're there because these kids are so talented. Mm-hmm. And it's such a great experience for them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for saying that. And I'm also, I'm really struck by how collaborative all of the arts organizations, not even all of the theaters, but all of the arts organizations are, and how we all do support each other, you know, in our sweet spots and share resources, share information. So thank you for saying that. I feel like that about our apprentice program too, that it's hard on the Cape to find production team members, to find directors, designers. It's a hard road to be able to live on Cape Cod and make a living doing that. So to be able to continue to train a young pipeline of production team members for them, but then also for the broader Cape community, also feels like a wonderful service and collaboration with our other, with our partner theaters too.
All right. So you wanted to finish out the season here with us?
Yep. Finishing out, we've got, as I said, a Sherlock Holmes story. And then in the Arts Center, our satellite space, Jim Byrne will be directing Twelfth Night. And then closing out the season, we have the full Broadway extravaganza of Frozen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And then as always, we have classes. We have classes from ages 3 through adult year-round. We will not turn away any child for inability. And as my colleague just said, we welcome everybody to audition. So please keep an eye on our website for auditions, classes, and shows.
All right. Jen Pina from the Cape Cod Theater Company, Harwich Junior Theater. Thank you, Jen. Good luck with the season.
Thank you.
866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. We're talking about engaging with the arts this hour. We'll be back right after a break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about engaging with the arts this hour and hearing from theater companies across the Cape Coast and Islands and what's on their summer schedule. With us is Julie Wake, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. 866-999-4626 is our number. That's 866-999-4626. If you want to talk about what's going on in your theater or music venue, we'd love to hear from you. Julie, one of the things that, you know, we talk about, we heard some of the people saying, you know, affordable, and they, you know, they try to accommodate everybody. But for people who are really concerned, you know, a lot of people are pinching pennies. Truro Public Library has free plays.
Yes. Truro Playwright Collective has local playwrights. They produce shows right at the library. It's free. And it's a really interesting project that they have going on down there. And if you've never been to the Truro Public Library, you're in for a treat because it's it's stunning. Or no, that's the Eastham Public Library. But I'm sure the Truro Public Library is very nice as well. But there's an opportunity, too, to dabble. If you've never gone to a theater production and you're kind of like, oh, that's, you know, not for me.
Maybe you want to see how the kids are going to do.
Yes. Try it. Go to the library and sit through something and listen to the talk back that these playwrights have. They want feedback. It's a very engaging art form, and the playwrights aren't going to be around if they don't have the audiences to give them feedback. So it's important.
Right. And we were we're talking about some of the challenges of keeping arts organizations going, given the higher costs and funding cuts. What are some of the innovative ways regional arts groups are working to keep the programming going despite these challenges?
Yeah. And audiences have a higher expectation now, too, right? We're all competing with Netflix and, you know, all the shows on TV. I think that I think creative directors have a real challenge with being as engaging with the audience as possible, having audience feedback and an opportunity to really feel part of something. You know, I often think of the Priya Parker book, The Art of Gathering. I think every arts leader should read that and really think about how do we feel about the space that we're providing right now. How do people feel when they come in? Do they feel welcome? And do they want to come back? Do they tell their friends? So I think there's a lot of work ahead for this, but I find it very exciting to see it on a national level where things are becoming much more engaging and the audience is invited in. It's really an interesting time for the arts.
You know, of course, during the pandemic, there was that challenge and a lot of people were you know, everything was, you know, on Zoom. And then it kind of became this hybrid thing. Do you feel like we're going back to in-person?
I think it seems
that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, David Keene from the Kituat, he talks a lot about, you know, I think Sister Act was sold out every night.
Right.
People really want to go out and be with other people. You know, there's such a fear of isolation. You know, not just here on the Cape, but throughout the country, you know, and the arts are there for everyone to feel connected. Even if you're not talking to anybody, going in a room and hearing people engage about things that are going on in the arts. And it's really an environment that everybody should find a spot for themselves in, you know, find a museum, a theater project, having sculpture at Cape Cod Museum of Art, having a sculpture garden.
I love it, yeah.
We all want public art. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
You know, and you can walk around the grounds and it's absolutely beautiful over there. So.
All right, let's talk about the artist of the year. It's not artist, it's artists.
Yes.
Two.
So this year, artist of the year, Jackie Reeves, a painter, visual artist, filmmaker, and Lauren Wolk, who is a well-known author, New York Times
artist,
bestselling author, artist, poet, and now also a filmmaker.
Yeah.
So these two artists,
both great.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
And they're even incredible together. So they've become this collaborative partnership with the Inkline Project, which are these short films that Jackie does these interesting, engaging kind of digital painting. And then she sends it to Lauren and Lauren writes poetry around it. And it's absolutely beautiful. Talk about feeling engaged and really all the senses kind of turn in. So they've been working on this project together. They also, separately are very accomplished artists. So Lauren's releasing a new book called The Outermost Mouse. And I believe her release is tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And then Jackie Reeves has a show, Larger Than Life, Drawings in Time, at the Provincetown Art Association and Museum, the PAM,
another great museum to visit.
I know. And Lauren's The Outermost Mouse is going to be launching at the Sandwich Library May 22nd at 11 a.m. Mm-hmm. It's a children's picture book debut. And it's stunning. It's, you know,
everything.
So cute.
All her work is stunning.
Yeah, everything
she does. Yeah.
And then can I mention last year's
artist
of the
year?
Sure,
go ahead.
It was Joe Diggs.
Yep. Joe Diggs, another great artist.
Another great artist. So we have this amazing partnership with the Melody Tent, who I don't know if you know this or not, but they're incredibly generous with our cultural organizations here on the Cape. They give back tremendously. They reached out. They said, we'd like to do a mural at the Melody Tent this year, and we'd love to hire Joe Diggs. So Joe Diggs, along with five students, local students.
I love the students are part of this.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. So they are just wrapping up this mural project, and it's going to be unveiled, you know, sometime in June.
What a great idea.
It's incredible partnership.
Yeah. You know, you're talking about this collaboration, like with Jackie and Lauren. Collaborations in general, especially now in this, you know, fiscally tough times. Are you seeing more collaborations between not only just artists, but organizations?
We're seeing a request for it. So people are really searching each other out. We hold a program called Creative Exchange, and where we support individual artists of all different levels and different backgrounds. And we're everybody's looking to partner or collaborate on something or be inspired by one another. So we're seeing that in the organizational space. There's a great group of leaders, arts leaders that come together about every quarter, and we talk about what are the challenges. And I do see that there could be some opportunity in the future. Yeah. So,
you know, we've in the past heard from some theater companies that it can be risky to introduce unknown work, right? So talk about this push and pull between introducing audiences to new work and bringing them to the, you know, the familiar feel-good plays, because theaters do need to fill the seats, right?
Yeah, they need to fill the seats. So they it's a balance that that they have to, you know, it's really tough. I don't know how they do it. But if we want to see new work someday, we need to provide opportunities for artists to show new work. And that's why it's so important that these talkbacks,
yeah, I was gonna say,
that
like
we heard back,
having that like what the Cape Cod Theater Project does, it's you have this opportunity to influence where it goes.
You totally do. And you could someday look at a future piece of work and say, I was part of that.
That was my idea.
I sat in the room and I heard the playwright talk about that project. So, or the writer who read a few pages from her book. I think that you really can get engaged with artists. Artists are looking for that. Artists want to be seen, you know?
Of course, yeah.
That's why they do the work.
Their
it's
work
important
to be seen, yeah.
It's important work, and we're all relying on them right now to capture the moment.
Okay, so as we're mentioning, as you mentioned before, we want arts to be accessible for everyone, for artists and audiences. So what are some of the ways the Arts Foundation and others are working toward that goal?
Oh, thanks for asking that. We have a program called Arts Access, which provides funding for economically challenged families to get their students into extracurricular arts activities. So we also provide funding for transportation support for field trips, and sometimes we even pay for the field trips. So we've, since this program started, we've moved about 5,000 kids, you know, all over the place, getting them to the MFA, the ICA, and also the PAM, and all over the Cape to see different things. We also have stipends for families. So if they're in need, we work with the grandparents raising grandchildren, Department of Family and Children's Services. So we're digging into what makes an accessible facility, a cultural facility as well. So we're asking cultural centers, you know, how do you look at accessibility? And I'm not an expert in accessibility, but it's a fascinating conversation that it's more than a wheelchair ramp.
Yeah. Just about a minute left, but I just wanted to again emphasize arts are so important, and not just arts in the schools, right, for kids. And I think it was David Keene who told the story at the Kituate Center for the Arts. Field trip came through, and this kid is just, you know, blah, 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 talk, asking all these questions. And later the teacher said, this is a kid who doesn't talk at all. Like, it was so inspiring. And you don't know what's going to inspire kids. So it's really important
to introduce them. It's so important. It builds confidence. And I think as we all age, too, sometimes we get into these isolated scenarios. And, you know, you want to get out to your local cultural center, volunteer, take a class. Even when you think about arts and culture, think about health and wellness in collaboration. You know, if you have some mobility challenges and you're starting to get, you know, tight, go take a pottery wheel class. You know, that was one of the topics that came up in our leadership discussion was there's a huge demand for pottery right now.
It's a cool thing to be doing
it's
right
so
now.
It's so cool.
Absolutely.
So get moving.
All right. Julie Wake, Executive Director of the Arts Foundation of Cape Cod. Thank you, Julie. Always good to see
Thanks
you.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
By me, Amy Vince, with production assistance from Dan Tridle and Elsa Partan. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.